Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents War Dogs, No One Left Behind, by A.J. Newman, narrated by Roger Wayne. Chapter 1. Southeast of Pleasant View, Tennessee, on Highway 41.
No. Hell no. It's none of my damn business. Max, I won't interfere. Why risk my life for strangers? Nope. Not gonna do it, I said.
Max just stared at me as though I'd lost my mind. Yes, I had seen the men kicking the poor man as he lay on the ground. A woman and young boy watched in terror. Then I saw the boy jump on the man's back to save his dad. The man threw the kid to the ground and kicked him. Max growled when the man threw the boy to the ground.
Max, stay!
My eyes squinted and my blood ran hot. I said to myself, why'd that bastard have to kick the kid? This ain't none of my business. I need to move on and find my sister. The man kicked the kid again, and I lost my temper.
That son of a bitch!
I raised my rifle, took aim, and squeezed off a round. The bullet hit the man's nose, and his head exploded in blood and gore. I fired twice more, and all three of the SOBs were dead or dying on the ground as their blood pooled around them. Max and I ran down the hill, intent on finishing off the asshats. A small limb whipped against my face, drawing blood. In my haste, I didn't see a man hiding in the bushes, but Max smelled him. Max growled just in time for me to see the movement out of the corner of my eye.
Max, get him!
Max leaped into the bushes at a full run. I heard the scream of a man who had a Belgian Malinois clamped to his arm. I yelled, hold him! The man screamed again as Max's teeth punctured deep into his flesh. I chuckled to myself as I ran to Max's side. The man couldn't reach his pistol with his left hand, and every time he tried, Max shook his strong neck and set his teeth deeper into the man's arm. I asked,
what did you plan to do with the family?
Even in severe pain, the man remained defiant.
What the hell do you think we were going to do with him? You can have him. The young girl's prime stuff, and the mom ain't half bad.
That's what I thought, I said before I drew my knife and sliced the man's femoral artery. The asshat screamed in pain like the coward he was. I took his pistol and commanded,
Max, out!
You've got a couple of minutes before you're dead. Now would be the time to pray to your God for forgiveness.
Screw you!
I made sure the man didn't have any weapons and left him to die. The woman tended to her husband's wounds as I walked over to them.
Is there anything I can do for you?
She looked up and said,
No. We'll be fine once my husband catches his wind. He'll be sore and bruised, but he'll live. If you're heading north, watch for those FEMA assholes. They're rounding everyone up and placing them in camps.
I shook my head. What if people don't need help? She said.
It doesn't matter. Their orders are to round up every living soul and put them to work rebuilding America.
That didn't sound right to me. As an afterthought, I asked,
Do you know what caused the apocalypse?
I don't know about any apocalypse. But the lights, gas, and water stopped because God wanted it to stop. He is purging the evil people from the world.
I smiled at her. I'm leaving now. Try to avoid any more bad people. She said,
Oh, we can't do that. The Lord wants us to spread the gospel to everyone we meet.
I caught my head shaking in disbelief. You do know that you and your kids will be killed or taken captive if you keep walking up to strangers and telling them they're evil, don't you? She laughed.
It's God's work, and we must do it.
Looking back, a week had passed, and we'd only made it just over halfway to Clarksville. Remember, that was less than a 2-hour drive before the crap hit the fan. I got sick the first night from swallowing some water in a creek when I bathed. I threw up for the entire next day. It took 3 days to get over the bug, and then I was too weak to travel. Max had never seen me this sick before, and I could tell he was perplexed by the entire situation. He stayed very close to me and whimpered a lot. I had to order him to go get him a rabbit because he wouldn't leave my side. The next delay was caused by me sticking my nose into something I knew nothing about. We drove my dad's old truck along on Highway 41 when suddenly a A young boy jumped out in the middle of the road and blocked our progress. At first, I thought he was setting us up for an ambush. Then he yelled,
"My mom's having a baby!"
I said, "What?"
"Mom's having a baby and needs your help."
Oh, shit, I thought. They didn't cover delivering puppies during my veterinary training. I said, "Take me to your mom." The boy led Max and me to an SUV that had been hidden in the bushes along the road. The rear driver's side door was open, and I saw legs.
"Ma'am, your son said you need help."
She yelled,
"Thank God! Come here. Wash your hands with that bottled water, and then rinse with the rubbing alcohol. I'm a nurse, and I'll give you directions. Have you ever delivered a baby?"
"No, but I've had first aid and some veterinary training. Just tell me what to do." The lady laughed, and then calmly told me what to do. And it was a piece of cake once the head popped out. She screamed so much I was afraid people miles away could hear her. I cut the cord and tied it off, as instructed. Then I cleaned the baby as much as possible and laid the tiny boy on her chest. I looked at her, and then at her boy.
"Ma'am, where's your husband?"
She choked up a bit.
"Joey, please go down to the creek and bring back a pail of water."
The small boy picked up a pail and ran into the brush. He quickly disappeared. She said,
"Robert left us to find help when the car died. He never returned. I started to walk home to Smyrna, but some men killed a family not far from here. I covered Joey's eyes, but he heard the screams. The men left, and I tried to help the woman. She was dying. There was nothing I could do to help her. She told me about the nuclear war, that the whole world was without electricity or transportation. Joey helped me push the truck into the bushes, and we've been here since the car died. I decided to wait here until after my baby was born."
I interrupted. "Could you deliver a baby by yourself?" She replied,
"I kept hoping some good Samaritan would stop and help us. I tried to stop several families, but since I wasn't in labor, they went on their way. The good Samaritan did stop. You are a good person."
"Sorry, I'm Jason Walker, and this is Max.
Can I take you with me toward Clarksville?"
She looked dismayed.
"No, but if you could take us about 10 miles south, we can stay at my cousin's home."
I took her down to her cousin's, chopped some firewood, and killed a deer so they would have some meat. I was back on the road a few days later. Now you know why I need to mind my own business and get my ass up to Clarksville to find my sister. Okay, I didn't mind helping the woman, and it was kind of neat delivering a baby. Perhaps God will remember this good deed come Judgment Day. Max and I were on a mission to find my wayward sister and take her back to the family farm. I was mission-focused and didn't notice how much the earth had changed due to the grid being down and most electronics being fried. The air was crisp and clean. You could actually smell flowers and evergreens without the smell of civilization overpowering the beautiful odors. I knew this wouldn't last long, as the hint of wood fires increased every morning. Mankind would soon be deforesting the planet and choking the air with smoke from wood and coal fires. People would die from pneumonia by the droves, and lung cancer would kill many more. Max and I were about a mile down the road when I said, "Max, there were some crazy-ass people in this world before the crap hit the fan. Now I think most of the sane ones must have died off." Max cocked his head and then licked my hand as if to say, "I've got your back, buddy." Well, that was my interpretation. Max and I communicated very well. We both knew what the other was thinking and were best friends. I know I sound crazy, but Max was a special dog and an even better friend. Yeah, I know everyone loves their mutt and thinks theirs is unique. Mine is special. I scratched behind his ears, and we drove on up toward Clarksville on Highway 41A North. The last known address for my sister was an apartment complex on the east side of Highway 41A in the middle of the city. This meant Max and I would be exposed to the hazards posed by a crumbling city and its surviving population. My old truck would stand out like a diamond in a goat's ass. Thugs and police both would try to commandeer it for their own use. I decided to get as close as possible, hide the truck, and walk the last few miles to Michelle's apartment. The area southeast of Clarksville along Highway 41A was built up with businesses and subdivisions. To avoid any potential conflict, I stopped about 10 miles from Michelle's apartment and hid the truck in a barn for the night. I planned to drive further in toward her place after midnight when everyone should be asleep. Max and I made a cold camp and shared some beanie weenies, spam, and a few crackers. Max didn't eat much as usual, since he'd gone rabbit hunting while I'd hidden the truck. He brought one back for me, too, but I didn't want to start a fire. I didn't want to take the chance that someone would smell the smoke or see the flames. We settled down after supper. Max lay on his back next to me and used his paw to move my hand to his belly. He was reminding me that I hadn't scratched his stomach for a long time. I scratched it for a while and then rubbed his belly. He moaned and wiggled in delight. A little later, I lay there with Max's head across my stomach. I tried to think calm thoughts to help me sleep. I tried to fall asleep, but laid there thinking Maria and Murph might be in danger. I finally fell asleep, but woke up dreaming about Karen. Thanks to my overactive brain and then my vivid dreams, I only caught a couple hours of shut-eye, but was ready to travel by 1 o'clock in the morning. I slid the barn doors open and stepped out into the darkness. Sheer lack of noise in the pitch-black night astounded me. There weren't any clouds, and the moon was only a sliver in the sky. The stars were breathtaking with their brilliance and shone like diamonds on a black cloth. I gazed upward for a few minutes and then prepared to leave the safety of the barn. We were only 10 miles from Clarksville, and the old truck hadn't broken down once. The truck's door opened, and I was blasted by light from the dome light. I quickly covered the light with my hand and then removed the bulb. That reminded me to take the bulbs out of the brake lights. Now I could travel in a stealthier mode. I pulled back out on 41A and drove as slowly as I could, dodging stalled cars and debris while I watched for lights. Again, I was amazed at how few lights there were in this suburban area. I only saw the flickering of a candle or perhaps a kerosene lamp in the distance a couple of times. I had traveled a couple of miles when I saw headlights behind me closing in quickly. I sped up to try to outrun the lights when I came around a bend and saw a fire in the middle of the road. It was a blockade. I steered quickly off the highway into what appeared to be an industrial complex and hid behind a couple of large semi-trucks. The lights flashed by me and disappeared close to the barricade. My best guess was that we were about 6 miles from Michelle's apartment. I scratched Max just above his tail. "Well, old boy, we'll have to walk on in from here." The closest building had a street-level garage door, so I broke the window of the nearest man door and cautiously sent Max in to check things out. He didn't alert. I followed behind him with my small flashlight, enabling me to steer around pallets of boxes. I checked several of the pallets, and to my surprise, the warehouse was a paper products storage building. There were mountains of paper towels and, more importantly, toilet paper. I walked around the warehouse and didn't find anyone or any dangers. The employee break room was intact, so I pilfered several of the candy and food machines. The sandwich machine stunk to high heaven, but the canned soup and snack machines were half full of edible food. I pulled the tab off a can of orange soda pop and washed down 2 bags of chili cheese Fritos. A Hershey bar was my dessert. Max enjoyed a can of beef stew and a bottle of water. After eating, I brought the truck into the building and rolled the overhead door down to avoid inviting thieves. Well, Maybe to keep other thieves from fighting with me to steal the food. I didn't think of Max and myself as thieves. Max, did you like the beef stew? I asked as I held up the empty can. Max barked twice and wagged his tail, which usually meant yes. I loaded all the candy, chips, and canned food into the truck, along with several bundles of toilet paper. Then, as an afterthought, I filled my backpack with candy and canned food. A frown came over my face when I thought the truck could be gone when I got back with my sister. It was now 2 o'clock in the morning, and everyone should be asleep. Max and I snuck out the back door to the warehouse and cut across a field to get on a side road leading into town. We walked close to the houses and stayed in the shadows as much as possible. A cat howling in the distance was the only sound in the night until a pack of dogs joined the cat in serenading the neighborhood. There weren't any flickering candles or bonfires, other than the glow behind me from the fire at the roadblock. A half an hour later, Max growled and sat with his nose facing up the street. I doubted if there were any IEDs, so it must be an ambush. I led Max into the alley behind a strip mall and continued walking northwest. Max sniffed the air and alerted again. This time, he pointed behind us. Someone was trying to sneak up behind us. Lucky for me, Max was the best at identifying ambushes and strangers. His one weakness was the wind direction. Someone downwind could attack without much warning. Max had magnificent hearing as well as his ability to sniff out trouble. His ears saved my ass that morning. I dropped down in a cluster of bushes behind a house, and Max joined me. I moved behind a short wall for cover. Concealment was excellent, but it wouldn't stop a bullet. A few minutes passed, and then the sound of muffled footsteps could be heard. Max growled just loud enough to warn me that a stranger approached. I heard the footsteps as the person slowly shuffled their feet. A faint odor rode the slight breeze, and I saw the source. In front of me was a small figure wearing a dark hoodie and packing a massive pistol in her hand. I say her because there was just enough light from the moon to see her shape as she walked by my position. No boy had a figure like that in tight jeans, but she smelled like a sewer. Before I could decide if I wanted to approach the girl or let her disappear into the night, another shadowy figure emerged from behind her in the dark. It was a large man, about 20 feet behind her. Crap! What to do? What to do? If I went for the man, she might shoot me. If I tried to pull her into the bushes to safety, the man might see us and shoot. I stopped thinking and yelled, "Max, get him!" as I lunged for the girl. I brought the young girl down with her hands pinned to her waist. She screamed obscenities at me that would make a truck driver blush. I'll only mention the milder obscenities.
"You son of a bitch, let me go! I'll cut your balls off when I get free!" I yelled back, "I'm not going to hurt you. I saved you from a man. I don't need a man to save me. Who the hell is going to save me from you, prick?"
I struggled with her and finally got possession of the pistol, only to be rewarded by a swift kick to my gonads. As I held her with one arm wrapped around her waist and my other hand covering my privates, I heard Max doing his thing. Did I mention that she smelled horrible? The stench of evil permeated the air around the man as Max slipped up closer to him. Max knew his human Jason would order him to attack this evil one, and he prepared to pounce. The order came, and Max was only a few feet away. He saw the fire-belching gun in the human's hand and bit down on the man's arm just above his hand. Max could taste the human's blood as he increased his bite. This man had to die, and Max hoped his human would let him complete the mission. Max had killed several evil ones since the plane crash, and was now on a mission to kill all of the evil ones. The woman had a neutral smell to Max's keen sense of smell. He had never experienced this before. Humans were either good or evil, from Max's point of view. I saw that Max had caught the man by surprise and clamped down on his right arm. The man dropped his weapon and fell to the ground in agony. Every time the man tried to move, Max bit more fiercely. The man begged someone to remove the dog. I yelled, "Max, hold him!" A scream from the burly man pierced the night as Max clamped down harder on the man's arm. The girl asked,
"Who was that? Your partner?"
"No, it was the man who was about to attack you. I thought you were defenseless, so I ordered Max to attack him while I got you out of harm's way." She said,
"So, you had to attack me and grope me just to save me?"
"I didn't grope you. I saved your sorry ass from the man screaming at the other end of my dog. Calm down, and I'll let you up."
"I'll calm down when you take your hand off my left tit."
I recoiled as though I'd been hit by a train and withdrew my arm. I tried to stand up, but the girl whipped a leg around and kicked me on my shin. This pissed me off, so I lunged downward, grabbed her by the waistband of her jeans, and yanked her silly ass up in the air with her bent in double. She was a tiny thing, and I held her up with one arm. I grabbed the wrist that was pummeling my chest and twisted it until she cried for me to stop. I said,
"You may be one badass bitch, but I'll do what it takes to keep you from hurting me."
"I'll stop. I promise."
I lowered her to the ground but kept her wrist bent until I could pull a hank of paracord from my pocket. I forced her hands behind her and tied them together. I couldn't help but think the poor girl must be horrified, thinking she was about to be raped and abused. "Look, girl, I promise I won't hurt you if you stop trying to kill me. I'm just in Clarksville to find my sister and take her home."
"Yeah, right. That's why my hands are tied behind me with you on top of me."
"I'm not on top of you. I'm just pinning you down so you won't run." She laughed.
"So, I'm not free to go?"
"Not until we sort things out and find out why this man was following you." I picked her up again by the waistband and helped her stand up while guarding against another kick to my balls or shin. I led her over to the man and pushed her down into a sitting position. The man begged me to release him, but I laughed in his face. I tied his feet before ordering Max to release him, and then I secured his hands behind his back. Max stood with his muzzle a few inches from the man's petrified face. "Why were you stalking this little girl?"
"That ain't no little girl. She's a damn thief and a killer," the man said.
I asked, "Who did she kill?" The girl yelled,
"The bastard who stole my gun."
The man said,
"She killed my buddy."
"What did your buddy do to deserve getting killed?"
"He was afraid she might hurt herself with such a big pistol and tried to trade a smaller weapon for that 50-cal Desert Eagle. She went berserk and shot him for no reason."
I looked at the girl and saw the hood had fallen to her shoulders. She wasn't a young girl, but actually a grown, although small, woman. "Tell your side of the story."
"My friend and I stumbled upon this creep and his friend yesterday in Clarksville. They wanted us to party with them. We told them we didn't do drugs and walked on by them. His friend followed us and tried to take my gun away. Sally tried to stop him, and he hit her with the butt of his gun. She died instantly, so I shot his sorry ass. Sally was dead, so I ran as fast as I could to get away. Apparently, I didn't run fast enough or far enough."
Before the man could speak, I said,
"Mister, if you don't want Max chomping on you again, tell me the truth."
"My friend just wanted to..."
"Max, watch him."
Max moved closer to the man. "Mister, when I say the word, Max will bite you until you tell the truth. I'd suggest the truth, but that's up to you. Max enjoys biting thugs and will bite you just for kicks."
"Max..."
The man was terrified by now.
"My friend was wrong. He did try to steal the girl's gun."
I asked,
"What would he have done with the women when they were disarmed?"
A smile crept over the man's face for an instant, and then he grimaced.
"Nothing. He just wanted the gun. We would have let the women go."
I pulled a massive pistol from my belt and placed it a couple of inches from the man's head.
"Anything you want to say to your God?" "Screw you and that whore."
I squeezed the trigger. The gun bucked in my hand, belched fire, and a big-ass bullet took half of the man's head with it downrange. Shooting the man with the girl's gun made me feel good. But suddenly it dawned on me that the shot could be heard from miles.
What's your name?
Cat, with a K. Short for Catherine. Shouldn't we haul ass from here?
I cut her bindings and said,
I'm Jason. Follow me if you want to live.
Chapter 2. Southeast Clarksville. The Montgomery County Library was virtually unscathed by the riots and looting during the first weeks of the apocalypse. The employee break room had been ransacked, but the rest of the building was untouched. I ate a bag of potato chips and a Slim Jim. I hadn't planned on stopping for the day, but she nearly fell asleep while walking to the library. No one chased after us, and I was hungry, so we stopped at the library and spent the night.
Cat, I'm untying you, but keeping your pistol until morning. I'm putting it in my backpack, which I use for my pillow. Don't try to get it, because Max will rip your hand off. Max, watch her.
I was tired and fell asleep, knowing that Max would let me know if Cat or any strangers were about to cause any trouble. She was a few feet away, laying on a bench. She was fast asleep. Did I mention she stank so bad it brought tears to my eyes? I rolled over and tucked my nose into my shirt sleeve. I don't know when, but I fell asleep and didn't stir much until just before dawn. Max lifted his head when he heard Cat moan in her sleep. Max had watched her the entire time she'd slept on the uncomfortable library bench. Her smell had changed to a good person's smell to him, even though she'd barked at his man Jason. She smelled like a cat, but had a good person smell. She reeked with the smell of fear. This confused Max, because she barked like a ferocious person, but had the stink of terror all around her. Max wondered if Jason could smell the fear. Cat moved and then sat upon the bench. She stood up and walked over to Max. He gave her the low growl, but she petted his head and then knelt beside his man, Jason. She started to tug at the backpack, and Max growled. She backed away a bit and then cuddled up to Jason's back. She fell asleep and softly snored the rest of the night. Max liked her, but wondered why she wasn't afraid of him when she stank of fear. Max crawled over to Jason and watched Cat through the night. He noticed the stench of fear had all but disappeared a few hours after she laid down behind Jason. She still smelled like a cat, but no fear. Max thought she wasn't afraid of Jason either. But what had caused such fear in this strong-willed human? I felt a warm body curled up against my back and thought it was Max at first, until I felt her hand move across my chest and her smell slapped me in the face. I'd be lying if I said she didn't feel good against me. Her warm breath on the back of my neck felt a bit too good, but the stink was terrible. I lifted her arm and crawled away without waking her. Max saw me get up and watched my every move. He then laid down beside the young woman. I thought this was strange. He had become closer to Karen than he ever had Maria. Now he had cuddled up to Cat. This was weird behavior for Max, or any military service dog. Oh well. Max was no ordinary dog. The sun had risen, and a narrow shaft of light struck the white wall behind her. It was enough to allow me to study her features. I couldn't help but look at her. She was a very petite lady who stood about 5 feet tall and weighed less than 100 pounds. I didn't care for her short blonde hair that was ragged, looking like someone had cut it with a butcher knife. It was short, and I liked my women to have longer hair. She wasn't really skinny, even as small as she was. She was compact and damned good-looking for such a foul-mouthed person. I noticed she was dirty and her clothes were tattered. That didn't make sense to me because clothes were plentiful now since there were probably 5 to 6 billion fewer people in the world. My gaze turned toward neck, and I saw bruises that had just about healed. Someone had tried to strangle Cat. I knew I had missed seeing all the death and destruction from the chaos after the lights went out, but had seen evidence.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?